Hey everyone, Star Master Jeff here. Welcome back to the Star Master Log. Today we're breaking down the episode, The Potential Prophet Is, the first of the Sibilant Saga. But first, let's check in with the crew of the Scapegoat and hear their latest encrypted reports. I'll chat with you on the other side.
When I first heard that Reggie's friend was into Xeno stuff, I thought, couldn't hurt to meet her while we resupply. But damn it if this didn't turn into quite the little opportunity. I'll admit it, I'm excited. A big auction to sell off a newly discovered alien exosite? This is the kind of business Youngthorn always dreamed about. We gotta be careful about this, though. Vera seems nice enough. It was lucky that she was so willing to strike a deal. Now whatever treasure is waiting inside is officially, partially ours. Plus, this contract might help us out in the long run. You'd be surprised what a little red tape can do in the right hands. If we manage to find anything good in there, that is. The site's value is gonna skyrocket if we do. Still, I'm worried. Despite our serendipity, there's still something gnawing at me. Haley's been distant since Scrapjacks. Robert's been avoiding the subject. Voss is acting weird now. I don't like it. There's more than alien ruins hiding under the surface of all of this. I just hope we can keep the upper hand. It's way too early to start counting our money. We don't even know if there's anything to find in there. All that's left is for Scapegoat LLC to get to work.
I'd say this is a near repeat of the last time I was on Sibilant. Help a corpo, find something of value, guard some suits. But here on the Scapegoat, we got a new normal, and it's alien technology. After that experience with the Void, super excited to be back at it. No disrespect to Vera or Voss. It's just still dealing with the whole hand in tendrils situation. I would rather not run into that again. But, you know, we signed up for this mission, and we're going to see it through. Thorn's right. We could use the money that we're going to get from this. Maybe we'll get some ship upgrades, like better crew quarters. Maybe some updates to the surveillance system. Because, honestly, how did we miss a cat? And what else is Froggy hiding?
I was really hoping for a normal stop. I mean, after the Void, I figured we'd maxed out. Weird stuff happening. Guess not. Now we're poking around an alien site, an active one apparently. I don't like that. Not at all. And Vera, she knows more than she's telling us. I mean, I get it. She's excited. New data. New discoveries, maybe even saving her company. Desperation makes people do ugly things. I've seen men stab their own sword brothers in the back, betray people they swore they'd never turn on. Froggy and I, we've had our moments, sure, but he doesn't deserve that. He's still got some light left in him, and I'm not letting anybody snuff that out. I've got his back. I can rag on him, that's loud, like a little brother. But if someone else tries it, they just watch themselves. Oh, hell no. And then Voss looks right into the door, pops open. Yeah, it's gonna be another one. Buckle up, Buttercup.
You know, I can't say I was expecting to be one of the first people to ever enter a powered alien facility, but hot damn, I'd be lying if I said I wasn't excited. I mean, since nobody's ever encountered powered artifacts before, we just have no idea what kind of computer systems or electronic engineering these beings had dreamed up. We already know they were capable of just amazing things thanks to, well, Dr. Voss's sheer existence. So who knows what else we might find here? I mean, there could be new methods of physical augmentation, AIs or VIs that hold the answers to what happened to this civilization. Maybe even a way to restore Petey, to get him out of that virtual hell he's trapped in. I know I can't count on it, but it is hard not to get my hopes up. But right now, I just need to keep an eye on Alara. Since she opened that door, she's been sounding different. I have to make sure she stays safe no matter what. Especially considering she might be our only way out of this place.
Okay, everyone, let's take a step back from the Scapegoat crew and take a look at how I ran The Potential Prophet Is. I'll talk about what was planned, what surprised me, and how much I'm improvising behind the screen. So if you're into GMing, world building, or just curious about how that story takes shape, this section is for you. I was very excited for this one. I love Sibylline. I love that it feels like it stepped right out of the movie The Mummy, and we even have a cool archaeologist there, Xeno archaeologist in Vera Corbin. Very cool name, last name Corbin, just like Corbin Dallas from The Fifth Element. I knew that I wanted Vera, the Xeno archaeologist, to be in an adventure ever since she was first mentioned way back on Wafisa. Of course, in that episode, I wasn't really sure if Froggy was going to survive. In fact, when he got shot, I thought he was just going to die. And then he was, of course, patched up, saved, and they brought him onto the ship, which I never would have expected since they didn't seem to really like him. And now, many months later, here we are. We've made it to Sibylline, where Vera is currently residing, at least for a little while longer, as long as Lykar Industries still operates here. And Froggy's alive and well, and he gets to meet his old friend Vera. Oh my God, guys, I'm so excited. Vera, guys. If the crew thought that he was annoying before, I'm sure that giving him a little bit of center stage infuriated them. I always like to have an NPC that's a little bit annoying, but for some reason, he really rubs them the wrong way. Anyway, I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself. I'd like to talk about Sibylline first. So Sibylline is sort of the last bastion of civilization on the edge of corporate space. Corporate space is all of the main corporations vying for control. They don't really go out beyond Sibylline. Beyond Sibylline is really just for ore extraction, you know, pulling in meteors, ice extraction. There's not a lot of exploration left to be done out there. There are, however, some deep space stations that are hiding out there. Some of them are on the up and up. Some of them are more secret. That's why they're heading out that way, actually, because the secret Prometheon base is out there. So Sibylline is the first world that alien artifacts were discovered on 7 years ago. By that point, it was already a bustling spaceport. All of the long-haul truckers, whether they are getting ice or minerals, they would stop there to fuel up on the way out and fuel up on the way back. It's essentially an entire planet that's a glorified gas station, which is why there's a single port city on one side of the planet and the rest of it is essentially just empty desert. And one of the reasons that it's such a good truck stop is that it has naturally occurring ingredients needed for fuel. Sibylline has a very weak atmosphere. It's a thin atmosphere, which is why they need to wear masks when they're out on the surface of it. That, coupled with the weak magnetosphere of Sibylline, allows stellar winds coming off of the nearby sun to hammer the surface of Sibylline repeatedly, embedding an element known as helium-3 into the sand itself. So, instead of having to try to extract helium-3 out of space using a fuel scoop or something like that, instead, those that are interested in mining it can simply go down to the surface of Sibylline and rake it directly out of the sands of Sibylline. So of course, on one side of the planet, which is where the port city is, they've been strip mining, and there's huge conveyors cutting through all of the dunes. There are miners everywhere in completely sealed suits. It looks like they're wearing, like, you know, when like someone's using a flamethrower and they're wearing that silver suit to protect them from the flames. Out in the desert, wearing these big silver suits, fighting sandstorms, cutting in to build the conveyors longer and longer and strip mine into the sand and get at the precious helium-3. There's a lot of corporate exploitation of this planet, but it's just this random desert planet out on the fringes, and it wasn't super valuable other than the ability to easily extract helium-3. However, about 7 years ago, alien tech was discovered there for the first time, and the alien gold rush was officially started. Once people knew what to look for, they obviously found alien tech on other worlds, such as Wafisa, which is why Dr. Voss was there, and on Polyphen, which is probably the one that's most explored for alien tech deep within the surface of Polyphen itself. It's also one of the more populated worlds, so it's easy to get labor to dig deeper and deeper and deeper, and it helps that the atmosphere is breathable and friendly to people. So that's what Sibylline is. It's a slightly lower gravity, about 0.8 G, with a thin atmosphere and a crap ton of helium-3. On the other side of the planet from the port city is where they actually land, And this is where the original alien artifacts were found. So a different type of strip mining has been going on over here. During the searing daytime sun and the dry, cold nights, 24 hours a day, I think it's 27 hours a day for Siblin, we have these corporations strip mining for alien tech. Of course, there's a lot of ground to cover, and there's precious little evidence on the surface that would actually hint at where alien technology may actually be buried. Thanks to the harsh solar winds pelting the surface, new dunes are always forming and covering up whatever was there before. If you have anything on the surface of Siblin that you want to keep clean and clear of sand, it's an everyday task to go out there and clean it several times a day. Vera Corbin is a xenoarchaeologist. She's obviously extremely excitable. She loves Froggy, even though she hasn't seen him in years and they have not stayed in contact. They grew up together. Her and Reginald, as she knows him, grew up on Wafisa all those years ago before the crash of everything that happened. Let's not forget that Froggy is in his 40s, his upper 40s, and Vera is as well. I know he acts young, but part of that is because of his own emotional stunting and having been alone for all of those years. I had a really good time playing Froggy and Vera in this episode. I think that they have a really cute relationship. It's not necessarily a romantic one, and in a lot of ways, Froggy is still stuck in that childhood way of thinking. But it's obvious that Vera still loves him dearly. And when they connect and they get to talk, I think that it's a really beautiful thing. Even though the rest of the crew may already be sick of Froggy, I think they can see it too. So of course, we end the episode with the discovery that the Xenosite appears to be active. Dr. Voss felt something calling to her. And for the first time ever in human history, a piece of discovered alien technology sprung to life and was powered. Vera's excitement is obviously off the charts, and she rushes to get all of her gear and make her way into the exosite, immediately employing the crew to come in with her. This is not only a chance to maybe save Lykar Industries, but it is a chance for someone that's extremely passionate about xenoarchaeology to be the first to enter such an exosite and explore what activated alien technology has to offer. Of course, unbeknownst to her, Dr. Voss is herself activated alien technology. As a virtual intelligence, a human consciousness that's been transferred wholesale into an alien orb of some sort, Dr. Voss is in a weird position here, because obviously something about this alien chassis that she inhabits is synced with this exosite in some way, or at least she feels it calling to her, or maybe even it feels like she's found her home. And we will explore that all in the next episode. So in the next episode, the characters, along with Vera and Froggy and Dr. Voss, will make their way into the alien exosite. And I don't want to reveal too much, but some of them get a little slimy. But I think we'll have to leave it at that and listen to the next episode to find out more. Well, that's all for today. Thanks so much for listening, and thanks for following our weird little adventure through the Viridian Expanse. I'll catch you on the next one. Love you all. Bye for now. If you want to hear every episode before the public feed, the Patreon is how you do it. $5 a month gets you everything 2 weeks early. The main episodes, the Star Master logs, and even the SWN rules breakdown that Brian records to go with each and every episode. Head on over to patreon.com/darkstaradventurecast, because the next episode is already out.